The Steve Gruber Show. Scott Bertram sitting in for Steve. Thanks so much for joining us. Going back to 1975 when Peter Gabriel announced on this day, officially, he was leaving the band Genesis. The band would fall apart and never record again. No, just kidding. Phil Collins, the band's drummer, became the band's lead singer, and they had even more worldwide massive success. But on this day, Peter Gabriel announced he was leaving Genesis. His solo career, he did okay, too. It worked out for everyone. Scott Bertram in for Steve on the Steve Gruber Show. Thanks so much for joining us. Fred Zolduck is with us. He is spokesperson for the Let My Kids Learn, Let MI Kids Learn petition initiative. You can find more at letmikidslearn.com. Fred, thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning, Scott.
Submission of signatures, 520,000 signatures submitted last week for this proposed ballot initiative through the petition drive. What does that mean? I guess, tell people about the initiative first. We talked about it for a long time, but there's always new listeners. What's Let MI Kids Learn trying to do, and what does it mean that we've now submitted these signatures?
We're trying to give parents more choices for their kids' education, whether that's tutoring that they need to catch up for some of the lost learning over the last couple of years. Perhaps they've got a special needs child who could use some speech therapy or something like that. That would be something that these opportunity scholarships would provide for. A lot of parents might opt for some vocational education where they could, you know, learn a trade or, you know, some sort of skill so that they'd be job ready the day they graduate and get their diploma. Or they could actually choose a different school for their child to attend, and that would be an option too. You know, more choices will be at least a better education for kids. Because the one thing we all know after watching, you know, kids zooming to school for 2 years is that every kid learns a little bit differently. And mm-hmm. the one-size-fits-all model just isn't really working very well anymore.
So this will not be on the November ballot, correct? But this gets the momentum moving and starts moving the gears toward something happening in the legislature, correct?
Yeah, both. There's two pieces of this initiative. One's been filed. One will file soon. Both have already been passed by both the House and the Senate, but they were vetoed by the governor from the NEA, Gretchen Whitmer. And she said no to these. And now, basically, this is a citizen's override. We can pass these initiatives without the signature of the governor.
And what's the time frame on that? Because the petitions and the signatures need to be verified to make sure there are actually enough right. on the petitions. And there's a board that does that. But they don't have to do that. I was trying to read up on this. Is there a deadline for them to approve those signatures?
You know, that's sort of in dispute a little bit. But, you know, this board has been, or the department has been extremely professional and fair from the beginning. I think we've been treated very fairly. I mean, during the pandemic, they didn't quickly certify the Unlock Michigan petitions because the state was under quarantine and they didn't have temporary workers. But they're moving quite quickly in processing these signatures. On the failed payday lending initiative, they canvassed the entire petition and found it didn't have enough signatures in just 45 days. If they were to do the same thing here, there'd be plenty of time to get this in front of the legislature this year, and change can come as soon as next year.
And that's important for a couple of reasons, Fred. One is that, yes, if approved, then change can come in 2023. But there's also the possibility of change in the makeup of the House and Senate after the November election. So what do you think the chances are that this does make it to the legislature for this current legislature?
Well, I mean, if the Bureau continues its completely fair and professional practices, this will be in front of the legislature this year. And, you know, we last had a big fight over choice in education back in 2000. There was a proposal on the ballot. The education establishment convinced people to say no in huge numbers. That was 22 years ago. And now it's fair to ask, how'd that work out? I have yet to meet a single person who thinks that the schools today are better than they were 22 years ago. And if you think they are, then you'll probably not like our initiative all that much. But if you think that maybe we can do better, this is a good chance for change. I mean, in every single field of human endeavor in the last 22 years, we've learned how to do more with less. except K-12 education, where we seem to get less and less for more and more. And it's time to just break that paradigm and have more choices instead of just more spending.
Something to note, the free press coverage of the petitions being submitted, they're called this controversial, and the headline called it controversial in the opening paragraph. Didn't say that the abortion petitions were controversial in any way. Only this, giving parents more power and more choice. But this is not a unique setup. This tax credit scholarship program, the student opportunity scholarship, Indiana, Florida, even blue states, even a state like Illinois, which is far more blue than Michigan, even has a form of this program. This is not some sort of trial. It's been proven to work in other states.
It has. Arizona's a great testbed for it. Certainly Florida's got a very expansive program. And we should be the state that offers more choices than any other state in America. One of the things that's wrong with Michigan is that the population literally hasn't grown since the 1980s. If there were 2 million more people in Michigan right now, you could actually afford to fix the damn roads. But we can't because we're short of people. But if we started giving more parents more choices, we could become kind of a mecca of if you want the best education and the most options possible, come to Michigan.
You know, I talk about that a lot. Coming from Illinois about 7 years ago, Illinois has extremely limited choice. There are a few charters in Chicago, Peoria, Rockford, but essentially you're districted. Your zip code determines where you go to school. Your address determines where you go to school for the public school, and that's it. So getting up here, even the amount of choice that parents have now is more expansive than, say, what we had in Illinois. And that's the thing I talk about most when I talk with people who are not from Michigan and ask, you know, how do you like it up there? What's it like? Well, we have this. And if you add a program like what Let MI Kids Learn is trying to do, that's an even bigger sort of feather in our cap.
So imagine, like, your daughter wants to become a hairstylist. She could use one of these opportunity scholarships to go through the training for that while she's a senior in high school, buy the equipment that she needs, the tools and the scissors and all of that stuff with these opportunity scholarships, and be ready to start full-time work the day she graduates and gets her diploma. That's pretty exciting, and that's the kind of choice that doesn't exist anywhere in America, but it can here in Michigan.
Fred Zolek, thank you so much. More at letmikidslearn.com. We'll see what happens next. This is the Steve.